Following are two of a series of retreat conferences on the subject, The Spirituality of Pope John Paul II. This retreat was given by Father John A. Hardin, S.J., Professor of Theology at St. John's University in New York. Father Hardin is a well-known author, retreat master, and spiritual director. He is the author of Holiness in the Church, the Catholic Catechism, and the New Catholic Dictionary. Each conference of this retreat is complete in itself, while together they form a synthesis of the Holy Father's teaching on various aspects of the spiritual life. As Father Hardin says, it is no exaggeration to say that God has given us an extraordinary prophet of sanctity in our times in the person of the present Holy Father. Drawing extensively on the words of Pope John Paul II, Father Hardin brings out very clearly the doctrine of the Vicar of Christ, on the meaning and dignity and method and rewards of Christian holiness. These conferences will be of great assistance to all bishops, priests, religious and laity, who are striving to follow Christ by complete dedication and loyalty to the Holy Catholic Church. In the following conference, Father Hardin speaks on the subject, The Meaning of Suffering. Father Hardin.
There is no substitute for experience, especially the experience of suffering. That is why the Holy Father, when he speaks on this subject, shows that he understands. He knows from experience. And that's one reason why his words come from the heart and reach the hearts of those who hear him or read what he says. Wherever the Pope goes, and to whatever group he addresses himself, his message on suffering is in many ways remarkably the same. Be patient. Endure the cross with Christ. But at the same time, seek to find ways of relieving human suffering when that suffering is caused by hatred, injustice, or greed. In addressing ourselves to this vast and important subject that figures so largely in the Pope's mind, I thought it best to choose from statements he has made in four different countries, ending with what he said at his first Christmas Midnight Mass as Pope in St. Peter's Basilica. In sequence, we shall see what the Vicar of Christ says on the subject of suffering, first, to the sick people in Poland, second, to the poor people in Latin America, third, to the United Nations Assembly in the United States, and finally, to the faithful on Christmas Day in Rome. First, then, bodily suffering in sickness. On the evening of June the 4th, Pope John Paul spoke to a gathering of sick people outside the monastery of Yasna Gora, the famous Marian shrine in Poland. This is what he said. My pilgrimage to Poland cannot go without a word to the sick who are so close to my heart. I know, my dear friends, how in your letters to me you often write that you are offering for my intentions the heavy cross of your illness and suffering, that you are offering it for my mission as Pope. May the Lord reward you. Every time I recite the morning, midday, and evening Angelus, I feel your special closeness to me. I unite myself spiritually with all of you. In a particular way, I renew the spiritual unity that binds me to every person who is suffering, to everyone who is sick, to everyone confined to a hospital bed, to every invalid tied to a wheelchair, to every person who in one way or another is meeting his cross. I have always felt how insufficient were the words that I could speak to you and with which I could express my human compassion. I have the same impression today also. I feel the same always. But there remains the one dimension, the one reality in which human suffering is essentially transformed. This dimension is the cross of Christ. On his cross, the Son of God accomplished the redemption of the world. It is through this mystery that every cross placed on someone's shoulders acquires a dignity that is humanly inconceivable and becomes a sign of salvation for the person who carries it, and also for others. In my flesh, I complete what is lacking in Christ's afflictions, wrote St. Paul. Therefore, uniting myself with all of you who are suffering throughout the land of Poland, in your homes, in the hospitals, the clinics, the dispensaries, the sanatoria, wherever you may be, I beg you to make use of the cross that has become part of each one of you for salvation. I pray for you to have light and spiritual strength in your suffering, that you may not lose courage, but may discover for yourselves the meaning of suffering, and may be able to relieve others by prayer and sacrifice. And do not forget me and the whole of the Church and the cause of the Gospel and peace that I am serving by Christ's will. You who are weak and humanly incapable, be a source of strength for your brother and father who is at your side in prayer and with his heart. Unquote, the Holy Father. These are surely the words of a loving father who understands. But they are also the words of Christ's vicar, teaching the suffering faithful to profit from the cross they bear and unite their trials with Jesus. A Christian should never waste suffering. In my estimation, the most appalling waste in the world is meaningless pain. What is the Pope also saying? He is emphasizing the value of pain. When joined with prayer, those two P's should always go together. The power of prayer joined with pain in moving the heart of God. Prayer, all prayer, is always efficacious. But prayer takes on extraordinary power to win grace for the one praying and for all mankind when it is united with patient suffering. Indeed, suffering is already prayer. When humbly accepted from the hands of God and offered back to God, as was Christ's prayer on the cross, in patient resignation to the divine will. That's the first lesson on the meaning of suffering from the Vicar of Christ. To make of our suffering a sacrifice by willingly accepting it from the love of God. Second message: the suffering of the poor. This time we turn to Latin America, where a large part of the population is living in dire poverty. The address which the Pope gave, the first, was to the poor people of the Los Minos district, outside the Dominican capital. It was the first of three major talks that he delivered to the poor. He made sure he would give important addresses, eventually to the whole world, to three groups of poor people. The second was to 500,000 indios, as they were called, at Culiacan, and the third to the barrio Santa Cecilia, one of the poorest districts in Guadalajara. The message in all three places was patience, but also warning. What he said, and we shall first read from his first message, was clear and a call to action. Beloved sons and daughters of the Los Minas district, from the first moment of the preparation of my journey to your country, I gave priority to a visit to this district of yours in order to be able to meet you. And I wanted to come here just because it is a poor area, in order that you might have the opportunity, I would say, to which you have the best claim of being with a Pope. he sees in you a more living presence of the Lord, who suffers in our neediest brothers, who continues to proclaim blessed the poor in spirit, those who suffer for justice and are pure in heart, who work for peace, have compassion, and keep their hope in Christ the Savior. But on calling you to cultivate the spiritual and evangelical values, I wish to make you think of your dignity as men and children of God. I wish to encourage you to be rich in humanity, in love for the family, in solidarity with others. At the same time, I exhort you to develop more and more the possibilities you have of obtaining a situation of greater human and Christian dignity. But what I have to say does not end here. The sight of the reality in which you live must make so many people think of what can be done effectively to remedy your condition. On behalf of these brothers of ours, I ask all those who can do so to help them to overcome their present situation, in order that, especially with a better education, they may improve their minds and their hearts and be architects of their own elevation and of a better integration in society. Again, unquote, the Holy Father. A few days later, this time in Mexico at Guadalajara, the Pope again chose to speak to the poor. This time, he spoke to the destitute people outside the city, and the title of the address he gave was, "Listen, the Pope loves you because you are God's chosen ones." It's going to be a fairly long quotation. I think it's worth reading all that I wish to say, because by the time we finish this conference, I wish to draw some salutary and maybe painful conclusions. Beloved brothers and sisters, I keenly desired this meeting, inhabitants of the district of Santa Cecilia, because I feel solidarity with you, and because, being poor, you are entitled to my particular concern. I tell you the reason at once. The Pope loves you because you are God's favorites. He himself, on founding his family, the Church, kept poor and needy humanity in mind. To redeem it, he sent his Son, who was born poor and lived among the poor, in order to make us rich with his poverty. As a result of this redemption carried out in him who became one of us, we are now no longer poor servants, we are sons, who can call God our Father. We are no longer abandoned, because if we are children of God, we are also heirs to the goods he offers abundantly to those who love him. at the same time, faced with your overwhelming situation, I call with all my strength on those who have the means and who feel they are Christians to renew their minds and their hearts in order that promoting greater justice and giving of what they have, that no one will lack proper food, clothing, housing, culture, and work, all that gives dignity to the human person. The image of Christ on the cross, the price of the redemption of humanity, is a pressing appeal to spend our lives in putting ourselves in the service of the needy, in harmony with charity, which is generous, and which does not sympathize with injustice, but with the truth. Again, so far, the Pope. Whatever else the Pope is, he is not a starry idealist. While encouraging the poor to accept the trials of their poverty, he urges, in fact he commands, those who are in power and have possessions to do everything they can to relieve the terrible condition of the poor. I make bold to say that the salvation of many Americans depends on America waking up to the terrible condition of most of the human race, which is in destitute poverty. Third lesson, suffering caused by ambition, error, and exploitation. On October the 2nd of this year, the Holy Father gave an address to the United Nations in New York City. It was an address that lasted exactly 61 minutes by clock time. And the session was attended by the representatives of all the nations that belong to the UN, which is most of the nations, major countries of the world. The Pope gave the address on the invitation of the United Nations. What he said is worth reading, all of it, and it deserves meditation. I will select only the passage in which the Holy Father recalled what happened 40 years before, when tens of thousands of people suffered and died in concentration camps. One of the largest concentration camps was Auschwitz, in the diocese where the Holy Father was bishop. But the Pope also reminded his listeners, and through them the whole world, that the suffering caused by persecution has not ceased. If anything, it has been accelerated and intensified, where whole nations have in effect become concentration camps of tyranny and oppression. Whereas Brother Thomas Duris, my confrere in Chicago, told me when he came back after 40 days in Slovakia? Every morning, 7 days a week, the whole town is awakened to the screeching sound of a broadcast. You don't need alarm clocks. You are awakened by the communists broadcasting propaganda from sunrise. And no walls, he said, are thick enough, planned electronically, thick enough to prevent your hearing what is said. Now, these countries can be divided into two classes. Those who have bartered their faith and become communists, and those who still hold out to some vestige of Christianity. The poor, those who have to go begging for jobs, often professionals, are those who refuse to accept Marxism. The Pope, in speaking to the United Nations, pleaded for a cessation of this man-created suffering. Today, said the Holy Father, 40 years after the outbreak of the Second World War, I wish to recall the whole of the experiences by individuals and nations that were sustained by a generation that is largely still alive. I had occasion not long ago to reflect again on some of those experiences. In one of the places that are most distressing and overflowing with contempt for man and his fundamental rights, the extermination camp of Auschwitz, which I visited during my pilgrimage to Poland last June. This infamous place is unfortunately only one of the many scattered over the continent of Europe. But the memory of even one should be a warning sign on the path of humanity today, in order that every kind of concentration camp anywhere on earth may once and for all be done away with, and everything that recalls those horrible experiences should also disappear forever from the lives of nations and states. Everything that is a continuation of those experiences under different forms, all kinds of torture and oppression, either physical or moral, carried out under any system in any land. So much for the Pope. No one can fault the Pope for not being courageous. And he comes back to this theme time and again. As vicar of the crucified Christ, he knows the value of suffering and its mysterious purpose in the providence of God. But as the vicar also of the healing Christ and of the just Christ, he seeks to apply a remedy and is not afraid to call those who cause suffering instruments of the evil spirit. The Pope is pleading with the leaders of nations, with people in political power, and sad to say, with not a few philosophers and theologians in the Catholic Church who are being used by political forces to create oppression. In God's name, he begs these leaders of society to have done with the massive suffering they often cause by their cowardice, or their pride, or in the case of communism, their blind pursuit of a Marxist utopia at the price of endless human suffering and pain. How can I forget the priests? I will not mention their names, who urged America to withdraw from Vietnam and to leave it in the hands of communism. Dear God, what folly! Where the church has been all but wiped out, here thousands are risking their lives to escape from that land of tyranny. Finally, the lesson of Bethlehem. We close our reflections on the Holy Father's reflections on human suffering by quoting from the closing paragraphs of his homily on Christmas in St. Peter's Basilica last year. In context, the Pope had been commenting on the strange lack of hospitality that prevented Mary and Joseph from finding lodging in Bethlehem, and that as a consequence required that Christ be born in a cave stable outside the city. The words I shall quote are the conclusion of his homily, including the closing prayer. On this night, let us therefore think of all the human beings that fall victim to man's inhumanity, to cruelty, to the lack of any respect, to contempt for the objective rights of every human being. Let us think of those who are lonely, old, or sick, of the homeless, those suffering from hunger, and those whose misery is the result of the exploitation and injustice of economic systems. Let us also think of those who on this night are not allowed to take part in the liturgy of God's birth and who have no priest to celebrate Mass. And let us give a thought also to those whose souls and consciences are tormented no less than their faith. The stable at Bethlehem is the first place for solidarity with man. For one man's solidarity with another, and for all men's with all men, especially with those for whom there is no room at the inn, whose personal rights are refused recognition. The newborn infant is wailing. Who hears the baby's cry? But heaven speaks for him, and it is heaven that explains it with these words: "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace to men who enjoy his favor." Touched by the fact of the birth of Jesus, we must hear this cry from heaven. That cry must reach all the ends of the earth. All men must hear it once more. A son is given to us. Christ is born to us. Amen. The close of the Holy Father's Christmas homily. There are some statements that hardly need a commentary. What we've just heard the Holy Father say, I think, speaks for itself. Suffering in ourselves, we are expected to bear and unite our pain with the sufferings of our Lord. Suffering in others may be caused by human coldness or neglect, or worse, by selfishness and pride. And it may be, and only God knows, how much suffering we may be causing in the hearts of others by our coldness, our neglect, our selfishness, our pride. Our first duty is to ask the Savior to open our eyes that we might see. Where, when, in whom, how am I the cause of needless pain? Well then, ask the Lord to open our hearts and enable us to overcome in ourselves that which causes suffering in others. Ask Jesus what we must do by our love to lessen the burden of human pain. And not pain in the distant regions of the globe, but pain in the hearts of those near us that love us and that want nothing more from us than our love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
For the next conference, turn over to Side B and push the play button immediately without rewinding the tape.